You're listening to The Takeaway. I'm Shamitha Basu. It's going to be a while before baseball fans can return to stadiums to root for their home teams and cheer rivals. But this week, reports emerged that Major League Baseball is hoping to start a modified 2020 season in early July. Now, don't oil that glove just yet. The league is currently negotiating with the players' union, so nothing official has been announced. But speaking off the record to a number of media outlets, baseball officials told reporters that under the league's current proposal, the season would begin around July 4th weekend, and at least initially, games would be held without fans in attendance. On Tuesday, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey said this.
Major League Sports. This includes Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, MLS are all able to participate and play in the state of Arizona after May 15th. Of course, this would be with CDC guidelines and protecting public health.
And in Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker voiced his frustration that negotiations over player salaries could delay an agreement to reopen Major League Baseball.
This is an important part of the kind of leisure time that all of us want to have during the summer to watch them play baseball, to root for our favorite teams. We need that back, that normalcy back, and I hope they'll be reasonable as they negotiate. But I must say I'm disappointed in many ways that players are holding out for, you know, these very, very high salaries and payments during a time when I think everybody is sacrificing.
As you can probably guess, owners versus players is going to be a big theme throughout this whole negotiation. But it's not all about the money. Players and ballpark staff will also have to weigh significant health concerns if the season starts in July. So who does this season really serve? That's a big question. Joining me now is Andy Martino, MLB reporter for SNY. Thanks for being here, Andy.
Thank you for having me.
So we mentioned that July start date. What else do we know about this proposed modified season?
Well, as you said, there would be no fans in the stands, likely for the duration. Certainly things can change with the overall health picture in the country, but it's hard to imagine a mass gathering of sports fans anytime in 2020 based on just what all of us know and have read about the coronavirus at large. Mm-hmm. But so you'd have about a half of a season, 82 games. If they're able to get that off without any delays related to the coronavirus, 82 games, most teams would like to play in their home stadiums. Teams whose local governments would not allow them to, or the coronavirus itself would not make that feasible, could play in their spring training parks in Florida and Arizona. You'd have an expanded playoff field, at least two more teams in the playoffs than usual, which would allow more teams and more fan bases to play more games and be televised, certainly, and collect that revenue for more televised games. You'd have a World Series that would still wrap up in late October, early November. So what it would amount to is half a season of baseball with no fans in the stands. That's the upshot.
So does this proposal mention anything about healthcare for players, for their family members, or even for the employees who would be working in the stadiums?
It does, and players have been really adamant and understandably, of course, in demanding protections and details about how their health would be protected and considered a major part of this plan. In the first virtual meeting, of course, between Major League Baseball and the Players Association, which occurred on Tuesday, the topic was mostly health and safety and not economics. We've heard a lot about the economic divide here, and we'll get to that, and that will be a major issue. But the protections for players, how can, say, a player for the New York Yankees go to his ballpark in the Bronx, play a game, be around his teammates, get on a bus to an airport, fly to, say, Atlanta, go to a hotel, eat, go to the ballpark in Atlanta, play the Braves, go home, go to another city. Oof. You see how this is all much more
just hearing risk. That gives me anxiety, frankly.
Well, exactly. When we're still protecting ourselves to go to the grocery store, and you're talking about regional travel, it's significantly more than what most citizens are doing right now, frankly. So, well, details of exactly how baseball will protect its players, and as you said, not only players, but clubhouse workers, bus drivers, pilots, everyone who's involved in this, details have been scarce so far, but were presented in broad form to the Players Association on Tuesday. It will involve significant testing, perhaps daily temperature checks, frequent testing of players and staff. Beyond that, we're still gathering details of what was presented and what will be presented.
Andy, maybe just asking this question will reveal how little of a baseball fan I personally am, but why is there such a push to play this season and not skip it altogether?
Well, it's a great question. And for a person who's not excited about the sport, it would be understandable to ask, why are we rushing this? What is the big deal? And that is a reasonable question. As with most big business or all big business, the ultimate answer is money. This is a $10 to $12 billion a year industry. They're already looking at losses of, say, roughly, insiders expect about $6 billion, and that's if they start in July. Your players who make millions of dollars, agents who make commissions off of those salaries, owners who depend on the revenue. So you have a whole economic system, and they're motivated to get that started. Then there's an argument that's a little bit more ephemeral about the American public's fascination with baseball over the years and ability to get into it and be distracted by it, and how nice it might be to be able to turn on your television and watch the Yankees play the Red Sox, even with no fans in the stands. It would be something for us to rally around. And while that's nice, and as a fan of the game myself, I would love to watch the sport, I wouldn't ignore the economic argument too. It's a big industry.
A number of politicians have weighed in on the possibility of baseball starting back up. How much political support does there seem to be for a July start date? Because it feels like a lot.
Don't underestimate, generally speaking, politicians' interest in using sports as a rallying cry. Governor Pritzker's comments about players holding out were not accurate in that players just received a proposal. They're not holding out. They're simply negotiating. But I think his comments reflected the spirit of a lot of politicians. Governor Cuomo in New York, of course, Democrat, has been saying for weeks that he would like to see baseball if it were safe and possible. So I think you're going to find political support. Rob Manfred, who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball, has been on the phone with governors. He's spoken on the phone with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. There's been overall a sense on the political side of support and working with the league, with the NBA as well, to figure out how they can resume, if they can resume.
Andy, can you explain what a revenue split is and how it factors into what's being discussed right now?
So the Major League Baseball Players Association, their union, has long been the strongest union in sports, and they've resisted any effort by the league to institute any kind of salary cap. And their position is that revenue sharing is a type of salary cap, or leads to a salary cap, because, of course, it would be capped on the amount of revenue that the leagues earn. There's a significant amount of distrust between the union and the league in this case. Decades of distrust. They've had a strike. They've had multiple work stoppages. And the union, frankly, doesn't trust that they will get an accurate picture from the owners of what revenue is. They want to know what's the pie that they're getting a piece of. They don't see the books of things like a television revenue and various revenue streams. So it's going to be tough for them to feel comfortable agreeing to a revenue split when they don't feel like they know what the revenue is. The owner's position is a prorated salary for half a season is not enough of a pay cut to make a season economically feasible. Both sides are portraying their positions as intractable right now. But for them to play, something's going to have to give, and both sides are motivated economically to play.
In South Korea, professional baseball teams have started playing games. No fans are in the stands. That just started this month. Is there anything that the MLB might be able to learn from how baseball is operating in South Korea right now?
Well, optically, what we've learned from watching that on TV is that it can work as a television production. Anecdotally, you watch the game. You're a little bit taken aback by the fact that it's a quieter stadium with no fans. You have a tighter zoom on the camera than we're used to, generally, and we watch the game. And it feels like you're watching a baseball game. But in terms of the logistics of the travel and all the stuff that I detailed in the previous segment that sounded like a lot, I don't know how much we can learn from South Korea, because as we know, more broadly, the virus has been contained. For better or worse, the government and different countries where the virus has been contained have taken a different approach. And we're simply at a different place in the curve with the coronavirus in the U.S. Than other countries are. And that's really what it seems to come down to. So I think the lessons from how another country is undertaking this are limited because of the difference in where the virus is.
Andy, we have about a minute left, but I want to ask a sort of big question, which is, who does a modified season really serve? Is this for the players? Is it for the fans? Is it for the owners?
That's a great question, and you can make a case for how it serves all three. the players and the owners economically, and the fans for entertainment, and the group that obviously assumes the most risk and therefore could be served the least, ultimately you'd have to say are the players and the staff, who are the ones who are out there putting themselves at risk. And this is the crux of the economic argument too, frankly. The players feel like they deserve hazard pay rather than a pay cut, and the owners are making their own revenue argument. But all parties would benefit, and those who are out on the front lines would be the ones who would be, of course, at risk. And not to mention the families of the players and the staff, whose homes would not be as secure if their husbands and wives are going out to work and coming home and bringing home those extra germs and risk from being out working.
Andy Martino is a Major League Baseball reporter for SNY. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you.
You can find a statement from Major League Baseball on their reopening plans online at thetakeaway.org. And we also wanted to get a sense of how minor league baseball players have been affected by COVID-19. So we reached out to a former minor leaguer and longtime advocate for these players.
This is Garrett Brushhouse, an attorney at Corine Tillery in St. Louis and one of the co-founders of Advocates for Minor Leaguers.
Garrett says many minor leaguers are struggling financially because of the shutdown, but they are getting some support from Major League Baseball until at least the end of May.
You know, luckily, MLB did the right thing initially and said, hey, you know what? You know, normally we would be paying you once the season starts, and now the season is suspended. So we're going to pay you $400 per week as a stipend.
But this is all happening at a particularly challenging moment for minor league baseball.
Now, at the same time that MLB is negotiating this reopening of the major league season, they are also negotiating with minor league baseball over the possible closure of 42 minor league teams. That's 25% of minor league baseball. You know, the closure of 42 minor league teams means 1,000 less minor league baseball player jobs. Major League Baseball had announced that intended plan all the way back in the fall, and minor league baseball was fighting it vigorously. But what has changed is it appears that minor league baseball isn't fighting the possible closure of those 25% of its teams as hard now. And so the minor league baseball landscape in 2021 could look very, very different than the landscape in 2020.
Former minor league baseball player Garrett Brushhouse. We'll see what happens. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.